It's 7 o'clock on Utah's Morning News. Good morning, I'm Tim Hughes.
And I'm Amanda Dixon. KSL's top story on the 7 o'clock report.
A major bridge collapsed overnight in Baltimore after a cargo ship ran into one of the bridge's pillars.
We've been monitoring ABC affiliate WBAL and reporter Ken Duffy, who is at the scene.
Let me tell you what I am seeing right now. The bridge is in pieces in the water. I mean, there's basically, we're by 695 because the sun has come up. We're getting a better look at what we can see. And I have to tell you, it's really chilling to see this because we're basically seeing just a ramp that where the bridge used to be and just nothing else there. And what we can see on the side of it is a jigsaw puzzle of the pieces of the span that are in the water. That's the best I can describe it, but it is absolutely chilling to see that. Yes, we have seen the video of the collapse, but the aftermath now, we can see in the distance. You know, we are several hundred yards away because they're keeping the media back for obvious reasons. And we're awaiting another press conference is going to start in about, 10 minutes here, 10 or 15 minutes from the state officials. Governor Moore will be here as well. But this is what I'm seeing now, and which we could not see before. And there are just gigantic chunks of the span that are in the water and are just kind of sticking, jutting out where it used to be. Just incredible to see that. Incredible to see that there's just nothing there.
It really is an unbelievable sight. Baltimore Fire Department Chief James Wallace is talking about the ongoing rescue efforts.
We were able to remove two people from the water. One individual refused service and refused transport. Essentially, that person was not injured. However, there was another individual that's been transported to a local trauma center that is in very serious condition.
Multiple air, marine, and police rescuers are on the scene right now.
ABC's Terry Moran has also now arrived on the scene and says this bridge is a major artery for the Baltimore area.
12 million vehicles traversed this bridge before it came down per year. But that hour, construction workers on the bridge and the normal 1 a.m. traffic, this is a major artery for Baltimore. So there obviously would have been some cars on that bridge, but it is a small blessing that this didn't happen now during rush hour.
ABC News is also reporting the ship lost propulsion as it was leaving the port, and they tried to radio bridge officials, warning them they might strike the bridge. We will continue to follow the story and pass along any details as we get them.
Turning now to local news, Utah State Auditor says we might be relying too much on federal funding. KSL News Radio's Adam Small is live with the details. Adam?
Tim, a yearly audit found that Utah leaders used federal funds to cover more than a quarter of our expenses in the last fiscal year. State Auditor John Dougal is encouraging state lawmakers now to reconsider this habit of leaning on Congress, which he described as, quote, a single funding source with such dysfunction. He continues saying Congress must eventually realize it can't afford to subsidize the states with money that Congress doesn't have, end quote. KSL.com reports lawmakers did just pass a new smaller budget for 2025. The fiscal year, but again, well over a quarter of those funds are once again coming from the federal government. Live in Salt Lake City, Adam Small, KSL News Radio.
Nearly 8,000 Utahns still haven't claimed their 2020 tax refund, and there's a deadline just around the corner. KSL News Radio's Peter Johnston joins us live. Peter?
Amanda, the IRS estimates that about a million Americans are missing out on over $1 billion in tax refunds from 2020, according to a new report from the agency. And the money's got a timer attached. On May 17th of this year, any money not reclaimed by taxpayers gets absorbed back into the U.S. Treasury. IRS Commissioner Danny Werfel says it's important for people to check if they filed a 2020 return, and they can do that by either calling the IRS or looking for an email verification saying the IRS got their paperwork. If you end up filing your 2020 return now, you may be looking at an average check of $836, according to the IRS. Reporting live, Peter Johnston, KSL News Radio.
Get ready for big crowds in the state's recreation areas this weekend. KSL News Radio's Britt Johnson says officials at Little Sahara say they could see double their normal number of visitors.
There will be extra law enforcement at the popular ATV and camping area to manage crowds. Ashley Snipes with the Bureau of Land Management explains why.
So we're anticipating a lot of folks that would normally just be out there for a little bit over Easter are going to be out there because of having spring break, maybe out there a little bit longer.
Keeping visitors safe is top priority, so helmets, seatbelts, and safety flags are required. If you're looking to beat the crowds trying to buy a pass, you can purchase them ahead of time at recreation.gov. Britt Johnson, KSL News Radio.
UTA is looking at adding a new TRAX line connecting the Salt Lake City International Airport to the University of Utah. That'd be great. The Orange Line would run from east to west along North Temple and 400 South.
Time again for a look at first look traffic, and it has been a very active day so far, Andy.
Yep, with snow affecting the drive right now, it seems a little worse in Utah County, although going south, running behind some plows near Center Street, we've got some extra delay right now. But for those of you going north, that earlier slowdown we had has thinned at the moment. Going into canyons, though, not much has improved, although the plows have helped things a little bit. Going over Parley's Summit on I-80, Big and Little Cottonwood Canyon require chains, four-wheel drives. And now I'm seeing some delay along 215's East Bench up by 3900 South. I'm Andy Farnsworth in the KSL Traffic Center.
We have an update this morning on a man shot by police in Payson. KSL News Radio's Mark Jackson reports.
A suspected shoplifter shot by Payson police is now facing new criminal charges. Court documents show 20-year-old Octavio Salas charged with attempted aggravated murder, a first-degree felony, plus interfering with police and retail theft charges. Police say two officers responding to a shoplifting call at Payson Market on Main Street noticed Salas had a knife. After they tried to tase him, investigators say he advanced on officers, and that's when shots were fired. Salas was injured and transported. 2 days later, transferred to the Utah County Jail. Police say tasers deployed twice, but were ineffective. Mark Jackson, KSL News Radio.
Distraction thefts are on the rise in communities in southern Utah. KSL News Radio's Michael Commit is live with what this means. Michael?
Tim, a distraction theft is when one or more thieves pull your attention away from your valuables so that they can more easily boost them. Say you're a purse in the shopping cart or diamonds at a jewelry store or even your car while you're in church. Now, police in towns like St. George, Washington, or Hurricane tell the Salt Lake Tribune they're seeing a rise in these types of threats. Apparently, thieves have a knack for targeting the elderly. Now, these thefts don't seem to be a solo act. Some of these crimes have ties to foreign gangs. Reporting live, Michael Commit, KSL News Radio.
The woman accused of killing her husband and then writing a children's book on grief is facing additional charges for mortgage fraud, insurance fraud, and forgery. Court documents say Corey Richin submitted fake bank statements to secure a mortgage loan in 2021. She also is accused of forging her husband's name on a life insurance application.
Investigators still trying this morning to figure out what caused a fire in a Kearns apartment complex. 34 people were forced from their apartments. The building was being renovated, and fire officials are trying to figure out if the construction may have played a part in the fire.
Two brothers in California are being hailed as heroes for their brave acts to try to protect each other from a mountain lion attack. The two have been identified as 21-year-old Taylan Brooks and his 18-year-old brother Wyatt.
The mountain lion attacked Wyatt first, and Taylan, out of that love for his brother, began to attack the lion to try to get it off while Wyatt was defending himself also.
El Dorado County Sheriff's Office Sergeant Kyle Parker said Taylan later died from his injuries. The mountain lion has since been found and euthanized.
A Salt Lake therapist was awarded the Carnegie Medal of Heroism. KSL News Radio's Tammy Kikuchi tells us why.
River Berry, an extreme athlete, was in Moab for mountain biking. She ended up rock climbing, though, to save a base jumper who had slammed into a sheer rock wall and was dangling by his parachute from a rock about 80 feet off the ground. She had never climbed in that area before, and it was very challenging.
Because the rock had never been climbed before. It was wasn't like a rock climb, so it was like very dirty and very crumbly.
Berry managed to safely lower the unidentified an unconscious man to the ground. She learned that humans have incredible capacity to get things done when things go wrong. Berry says she and the man had become close friends, and she visited him at his home in Australia. Tammy Kikuchi, KSL News Radio.
7:09 means traffic and weather together. Again, brought to you by Sinclair's DinoPay app. Save up to 20 cents a gallon. Is that a complete road closure on the southbound side of I-15 in Provo?
Yeah, they've brought Provo's traffic to a halt southbound because of a crash. They're pushing it out of the way, but again, this is going down from the S-curves towards Center Street in Provo. The northbound side getting by better than it was earlier, although a lot of splash kicking up, and it's still pretty slick in that stretch. pretty rough on Redwood Road now as well, going from Main Street Lehigh up towards 2100 North, and delays increasing for traffic heading east across Lehigh toward the freeway as well. Heather?
We're looking okay through Weber-Davis County. Roads are still a little bit damp, especially I-15, Legacy Parkway, US 89, but not as much water is kicking up from them. Traffic getting pretty heavy now, especially between Layton and Centerville. No excessive delays, though. You still have some snow-covered roadways going through Weber Canyon, I-84, and that seems to be slowing people down heading west, away from Mountain Green toward Ogden. Eric?
We got some snow falling over on the 215 East Belt and corresponding slowdowns northbound and southbound between 3300 and 4500 South. Now into the mountains, we are seeing some improvement. You've still got eastbound delays going up from Lamb's Canyon to the top of Parley Summit, and then from Kimball Junction over to the US 40 turnoff. And on the westbound side, you've got slowing from the top of Parley Summit over to the East Canyon exit because of the road conditions. Get Mr. Mack's Performance Missionary Package, including one performance suit, four and collar stretch shirts, three ties, one mission belt, one pair of Echo or Johnson & Murphy shoes. Just $595. Eric Butler in the KSL Traffic Center.
KSL hourly forecast at 7 a.m. We've got cloudy skies, temperatures in the mid-30s, and there will be some spots that could see some rain, snow, showers. Into the lunch hour, we've got rain, snow, showers, temperatures in the low 40s, and a light northwest wind. Into the afternoon, topping out at 50 degrees with more springtime pop-up rain, snow, showers. From the KSL Weather Center, I'm Matt Johnson.
Back to where we started the morning, 37 degrees downtown.
We're learning more all the time about this bridge collapse in Baltimore that happened in the wee hours this morning after a cargo ship just rammed into the bridge. We're going to go live and speak to ABC's Derek Dennis in a moment.
Let's talk sports for a second here. No more Utah teams left in the big dance after the Lady Utes lost last night, but we still have one team playing postseason basketball. The Utah men's team is back at the Huntsman Center tomorrow night to take on VCU with a chance to advance to the NIT semifinals in Indianapolis.
Oregon State and Washington State have reached a financial agreement with Utah and the other schools leaving the Pac-12 conference. As part of the deal, the schools leaving for other conferences will have to pay $1.5 million each in a supplemental contribution to Oregon State and Washington State to help them navigate their futures.
Isn't that interesting?
That is. So the schools have to pay for the mismanagement of the Pac-12? That doesn't make sense to me.
Well, and they're also getting, each of those teams, Washington State, Oregon State, getting about $3 million each as they continue their contract with ESPN, which was announced this past week, too. So a little financial windfall anyway. The Utah Jazz have lost their sixth game in a row. We just looked. They've lost 17 of 20 now. They fell to the Dallas Mavericks last night. They have lost 9 of their last 10, and they're going to be taking on the Spurs, who have the worst record in the West, tomorrow night.
Firefighters in Oklahoma City say a dog may have saved the lives of 4 people in an early morning house fire.
They were alerted by a dog barking. The dog alerted them to the fire, and they evacuated the residents and are safe.
District Chief Andrew McCann says firefighters also rescued 2 more dogs and a cat.
We do love our dogs.
We do.
Did you see Sissy's new haircut yesterday?
I did. She's so cute.
Little bows in her hair. All right. The autopsy is finished, confirming the cause of death of a Eurasian eagle owl who escaped from New York City Central Park Zoo a year ago.
Flacco's remains had high levels of rat poison and severe herpes virus from eating pigeons when he died last month in Manhattan. Tests by Bronx Zoo doctors were released by the Wildlife Conservation Society. The owl hit a window and crashed to the ground in the courtyard of a residential building on the Upper West Side. The report indicates the toxins are the risks you have being a bird of the wild hunting in the naked city. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News, New York.
Trending this hour on the 7 o'clock report, a photo from Orlando, Florida at a Costco there is causing an uproar. It says people without a membership will not be allowed to buy items from the food court. The rule has always been in place, but I guess it's never really been enforced. The rule becomes effective April 8th. I always assumed that was because how do you get in without a membership?
Well, they guard the Costco out of my neighborhood.
Yeah,
like a...
you got to show a membership.
Yeah. But
so
I guess
I'm surprised by that.
People want those, what are they, $1.50 hot dogs?
For sure.
There. Some bears in a British safari park got some unusual enrichment after rain flooded part of their enclosure. The park decided to give them a swan boat. Videos show the bears lounging in the swan, floating along the river. I've got to look this up now. KSL News Time, 7:15. The three things you need to know this hour. First,
Utah State Auditor is encouraging lawmakers to reconsider how much they rely on federal funds after an audit showed those covered more than a quarter of Utah's expenses in the last fiscal year. I'm KSL News Radio's Adam Small.
Second, Utah's women's basketball team says they had to switch hotels Thursday because of multiple instances of racism as they prepared for their NCAA tournament game.
Third, it's a look at traffic and weather together.
And traffic has had some issues along the East Bench right now where it's snowing and slowdowns have increased on 215 between Kimball Junction and Park City and Highway 40 in pretty rough shape, as is South 15, although they are letting traffic get by the crash now that's going south through the S-curves towards Center Street in Provo. I'm Andy Farnsworth in the KSL Traffic Center.
Deja vu today with more rain, snow, showers. I'm Matt Johnson.
Right now it's 36 degrees at the KSL Common Spirit Health Studios.
Let's go in depth now on a breaking story from overnight. A large cargo ship hit a major bridge in Baltimore, Maryland, causing the bridge and everyone on it to fall into the bay.
ABC's Derek Dennis joins us live from Baltimore. What's the latest on this tragedy, Derek?
The latest is they are still searching. Authorities still searching with dive teams and sonar equipment for any survivors in the waters of the Patapsco River here in Baltimore hours after this massive bridge collapse. First call coming in 1:30 in the morning East Coast time. Apparently a container ship hit a support column of the bridge, causing this collapse as work crews were on it and as cars and trucks were passing over it. All of the structure, the cars, the trucks, the workers falling into the river below. And so the massive search is underway. Hours later, authorities say they were able to pluck two people from the water early on, one person not injured at all, declining medical attention, and the other person critically injured and taken to a local hospital.
Dennis, or Derek, we have actually heard that at least seven people may be in the water, but ABC's reporting that number could go as high as 20.
Right. The early number was seven. It's now up to 20, and that number could change. Authorities are saying they don't know how many cars were going across it, how many people were impacted and thrown into the water. So they're working with that number. And keep in mind, that's a small number, primarily because this happened in the middle of the night with less traffic going over that bridge, less people around. Had this happened during the day, during rush hour, we could be talking about really catastrophic numbers, but still the search and rescue effort is underway for any survivors.
What do we know at this point, Derek, about what went wrong on that cargo ship?
We know a lot. Authorities confirming to ABC News that the container ship lost propulsion, lost power seconds before the crash, but that the captain was able to notify the bridge to say that we've lost power, that there might be an accident here. And then seconds later, that's exactly what happened. The container ship hit a support column, causing that bridge to just buckle, to crumble. Into the water below. And if you've seen the social media video, if you've seen it posted on our ABC News pages, you see how unbelievable the collapse was. It almost looks like a movie.
Yeah, and on that video, you can actually see the lights on that entire cargo ship go out, not once, but twice just before impact there. There was also some construction ongoing. Are they saying anything about the construction workers or what exactly was being done?
Yeah, they have it, and we don't know if the workers are the ones who are missing, if those people alone, or if it's actual people in their cars. But authorities did say that the sonar equipment detected cars submerged in the water. And so that's part of the search here. We also know that there were crews on the container ship. They needed to be rescued as well. Authorities have been in touch with them, so they know that they are on that ship still. And it needs to be taken out of there, and those workers need to be rescued.
You know, from the angles I can see on social media, Derek, it looks like the ship was, you know, too close to that pylon even before the lights go out. Is there any discussion of whether or not there were some navigation issues right from its leaving port?
No. Well, we know it was leaving the port of Baltimore. heading out in the Patapsco River into the Atlantic and heading to Sri Lanka. But the only indication of something going wrong was with this loss of power, loss of propulsion, whether it happened before the lights went off and that the lights were just the last signal of it. We just don't know. But the power issue is what authorities are looking at. The FBI is on scene assisting local authorities. They did that to make sure there was no nexus to terrorism. They say there isn't any, that this just appeared to be a catastrophic accident.
All right, Derek, thanks for your reporting on this there in Baltimore. They're saying there's a broader impact here, too, because other cargo ships, this is a major thoroughfare. Mm-hmm. For international shipping, and the other cargo ships that were headed that way have
stuck now.
They've had to drop anchor.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows when those ships are going to be able to get through there. But when I first got this report this morning, you know, they were talking about a key bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought they were talking about, you know, a substantial thoroughfare, which it is.
Yeah.
But it's named the Key Bridge because the Patapsco River is where our national anthem, Francis Scott Key wrote national anthem.
Oh, wow.
On that river.
That's why it's named the Francis Scott Key Bridge.
So now you know.
Yeah.
A little bit of history there. We've got another update coming in just about 10 minutes. We'll keep an eye on that for you as well.
719 Traffic and Weather Together, brought to you by Sinclair's DinoPay app. Save up to 20 cents per gallon. And we go back over to you, Andy.
Amanda traveled in Salt Lake County on I-15, has been without really much delay this morning, despite the wet conditions. It's been a little bit slower on 215's east side belt, though, between 39th and 33rd South right now because of the snow. And Mountain View finally seeing some delays near 4100, 3500 South. Not much, though, through West Valley on the 201 freeway. Heather?
Roads are still pretty wet through Weber and Davis County and damp, especially southbound I-15. That still has areas where water is kicking up from the tires. That could reduce your visibility. The good news is, though, we don't have any real slowdowns right now between Ogden and Salt Lake. A few brake lights starting to pop up right around Riverdale Road, but otherwise you're going to have a good drive into downtown. Eric?
Down in Utah County, you've still got southbound slowing through the S-curves because of a crash that has been moved over to the right shoulder. So you've got three lanes and the HOV lane getting through there. And traffic generally isn't as busy in that direction, so that might clear up pretty quickly. But you've still got the road conditions to deal with, and that's also caused, may have been a factor for a crash between the Springville exits on the southbound side. Northbound, though, still holding at a pretty decent pace from Spanish Fork to Point of the Mountain. That's a 24-minute drive. Zero Res. Get one room cleaned starting at just $25 with a four-room minimum and 25% off all other services. Use promo code CLEANWEEK. Zero Res. Eric Butler in the KSL Traffic Center.
KSL 7-day forecast. We've got a high of 50 degrees today with a chance for rain and snow showers. Into Wednesday, maybe early morning snow showers, then partly cloudy, 53 the high. 60 on Thursday. We'll look at rain late in the day. Mostly cloudy skies, 57 on Friday. Saturday, 60, mostly cloudy. Easter Sunday, 61, and a chance for showers. From the KSL Weather Center, I'm Matt Johnson.
37 degrees now in Salt Lake City, and the 7-day forecast brought to you by Performance Automotive Bountiful.
Well, there's so much going on in the world today, including argument before the Supreme Court on the abortion pill mifepristone and whether or not the FDA legally eased the restrictions on access to that pill. We'll follow those arguments as well here on KSL.
KSL News Time, 7:23.